recording now. And so it is Saturday the 18th of June 2016, and I'm sitting here with
Megan Cruzans.
And where did you travel from to attend Miners Memorial Weekend?
Cumberland.
So, Megan, first of all, were you or are you a part of the labour movement?
Formally, no. Informally, I hope so. Otherwise, I've been hanging out in the wrong place. So I'm not. I had about 6 months of being a member of a union when I worked as a constituency assistant for our MLA for a mat leave. And so I was BCGU casual. Other than that, I'm not formally part of, I guess I'm saying, the union movement, but am I part of the labor movement? Perhaps that's what I am still trying to figure out.
Great, thank you. So can you tell me about your first experience at Miners Memorial Weekend? What year was that you first attended?
The first year was, I believe, 1996. So I think this is my 20th year. 1996, there was a provincial election that year, and I was the Green candidate in this riding. And during the process of that election, there were a lot of people who were very much involved in the NDP campaign who were, it's always a bit acrimonious and difficult, the Green NDP tension, and I have since worked for the NDP as well, so I feel that tension deeply internally, perhaps. But there were a bunch of folks like Mike Keelan and Steve Harvey in particular, who really encouraged me to come and wanted and invited me actually to speak about coalition building with non-union but social justice advocates and environmental activists in the community. And so I spoke at Miners Memorial in 1996.
And would you say that that was your most memorable occasion from all many years?
There's been multiple, but that was my introduction to something that I had only been in I'd been in Cumberland for a year before that, and I think it really grounded my, landing place in Cumberland and going, okay, there's something else happening here, and there's a historical piece. I've always been interested in history and social justice and storytelling and, like, all, you know, I'm a person who would like going to museums or enjoyed learning about the history of space, but I was also young. I mean, I was only 22 or 23 at that time. But there was a music component, and I grew up also doing a lot of folk and labor music and had a really broad repertoire of that. So I not only spoke at the cemetery, then Steve Harvey invited me, might have been the following year, I'm not sure exactly how, to do Songs of the Workers. And so I was able to bring music forward at Songs of the Workers. So it was the reaching out, definitely, of Mike Keelan and Steve Harvey, and to draw me in with an agenda they had to bridge build. I don't know if we've been successful yet, but they've pulled me in successfully, and I continue to try and outreach. So that and the music. For me, the music's been very central to my experience with Miners.
What do you think the legacy or the importance of Miners Memorial Weekend is for future generations?
Well, I think it's a really, I think there's a huge amount of opportunity with this event, but there is some work to be done. So I have 20 years of history now with this event, and watch sort of an aging, a community that's getting older and older, and I think that our succession is not keeping up in some ways with the aging out that's going on. And they're not aging out, it's wonderful folks that are involved, but I think there are more and more folks. I think the opportunity is to draw in activists, artists, and academics who have a sense of the notion of class consciousness and how that manifests in our community and culture now. And I think that the museum has done a wonderful job, and there's been a period of time where I've worked for the museum as well, of communicating the openness and inviting communities in. Where the opportunity lies, though, is going to be, I believe, in active outreach with the social justice community to bridge between this is a union event that other people are invited to this is a broader social justice event. But that's not going to happen through just effective posters or social media. That happens through actual outreach. So the legacy for me, I think, is going to be how successful we are in doing some new bridging and drawing in, because there are less and less people who are working in traditional workplaces. Work is changing. So how do we draw those people in who haven't found their path towards activism and social justice through the trade union movement.
So, do you have a particular favorite figure from BC labor history and why?
No, not really. My favorite figures from labor history would probably be musicians, yeah. Right? So, I mean, I'm like, you know, the Woody Guthrie and Tom Paxton and Pete Seeger and Peggy Seeger. And then for me, it's musical. So I seek out and I'm like, well, who else has done songs that are actually social justice, people's music? I'm interested in like the people's movement as opposed to the labor movement. It's just this different way of thinking about it. So last night I also did some Sinead O'Connor, and because she wrote a lot about the Thatcher era and social justice issues in the UK. So I did like Black Boys on Mopeds last night as part of Songs of the Workers. Michelle Schacht, who rekindled a whole lot of that music. And so I did some Michelle Schacht last night. Who else? I'm just trying to think of. So I think about, you know, people who are effectively storytelling, and what I want to do is draw that out of also not only folk music but some of the contemporary pop music, and draw it down and go, hey, there's these songs are actually still happening and people are singing them. Again, though, I would say we are not totally I would love to see a folk music festival attached to Miners Memorial, right? That's what I'd love to see happen more of, and maybe in 2018 we'll be able to do that. A favorite activist? Yeah, no, all of them. Probably someone I've never heard of and don't know their name.
Great. So moving on to kind of more general labor history questions, do you remember how old you were when you first started thinking about the labor movement or labor history?
If we're talking about people's history or working class history in the same, from childhood. So my parents were both activists. My dad was BCGU union member, but also heavily involved in the environmental movement, social justice, peace movement. You know, I'm a child of the, you know, I was born in 73. So my first awareness is late 70s, early 80s, which is Cold War stuff. So my own political consciousness was informed by a lot of Cold War anxiety and then activism on the part of my parents, particularly my dad, who's also one of the founders of the BC Green Party. From a very young age, I can't find a trigger point. Storytelling, any storytelling that was going on, class consciousness was embedded into the narrative, which I'm trying to do with my daughter too.
What do you think are the main issues that are facing working people today?
The same issues that have always been facing working people because globally, there's people struggling on the same issues that we might have been struggling here 100 years ago. As a parent of a young child, I think that that ongoing struggle to build communities and social support systems that allow women to engage fully in political and professional lives of their community when they have small children is huge, because that's what's in front of me right now, whether you're mothers or fathers. The lack of a universal child care and the way that removes people from both the professional and activist community unless they're heavily supported by family and friends, which I feel I am. So that piece of social justice, the fact that we have, you know, that so many, the fact that minimum wage is considered in any way possibly a living wage, the fact that we don't really have universal health care, and we think we do, and that we're people who are very low income are paying MSP premiums and paying for prescriptions and paying for procedures, the fact that you have to travel out of the Comox Valley to get an abortion, and that means you need to have access to transportation to get yourself to Campbell River, the fact that there's only 6 detox beds for women. I mean, I can go through a list. I think health and right now probably my consciousness is turned to mental health, addictions, access to reproductive services. So I think those are huge issues, because they're huge issues for women and work. And I think the other issue is how to embed social justice consciousness into the non-labor workforce, the self-employment workforce, tech. It's there in the people, so how do we galvanize that? So that issue is, how in this new economy do we galvanize the energy the way that the labor movement has been able to by structure? There is no structure for that now. So the biggest challenge I think we face is how to re-galvanize what I believe is There are incredible people with incredible talent and passion, and they're all still around us. But we don't have a mechanized to galvanize other than like Facebook, and that's not going to cut it. So,
brilliant. And final question then. Do you think labor history matters?
Well, you saw me in the movie last night. It would have been, yeah. But that was not the question he asked me. I was like, no, I don't even remember what he asked me. But I was like, that's out of context.
Yeah.
Anyhow, provided comic relief, which is fine. So, so what's this? What do I think matters most right now? Does it still matter?
Does it matter?
Absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, stories matter, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the only way we learn and evolve as communities and culture and species is through storytelling. So the biggest part for me about labor history is this coming together and this story spinning and storytelling. So yeah, it's totally relevant. And at the same time, it needs to evolve its own practice to reflect economic realities and social realities. And so I will continue to cling to the side of this labor vessel, regardless of having a boarding pass or not. And try to and bridge that relevancy, because my heart feels, I feel a heart connect to something that I don't have a structural connect to. So yeah, I think it matters, and I think it really matters for people who don't directly see themselves as part of the labor movement to find the hooks in, to find, for the environmentalists to find that, and the social justice advocates and the queer community and all of these folks to get their tendrils into this thing. So it continues to be strong, and we continue to stand with people that share values, not just membership cards. And yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to add that we haven't covered? I'm sure lots.
Well, there's lots. I mean, I have a lot. I mean, after 20 years of Miners Memorial, I have a lot of stories. I mean, there's a story at some point I think I'd like to capture. It doesn't have to be today because we have to get going. But yeah. Of just struggles. Like, I come from generations of nurses. This is a labor movement thing. And I caused some trouble 2 years ago at the Pacific Northwest Labor History Conference, which was in conjunction with Miners Memorial, because BC Fed and the Canadian Labor Congress have censured the BC Nurses Union for raiding, by definition, for raiding LPNs out of another union to draw into the... and so I come from generations of nurses, not me. And an activist nurse in our community signed up to lay a bouquet for the first time, and a whole lot of tension and conflict came out of this. And there were people who were threatening to turn their back on the event and not necessarily support the event if the nurses were allowed to lay the bouquet. And I decided to take that one on and said, if the nurses aren't allowed to lay the bouquet, I won't be involved in this event anymore. And that BC Fed needs to do a lot more than buy a $500 wreath or give the thumbs up to all the other unions that it's okay for them to participate in order for them to own this event. And I got myself in trouble. And I don't mind at all. And I'm still here. And I still think it's the case. I think that no one can own this event. And that's the tension place I think we're actually still at. And I think it's a really critical fundraiser for the museum. Or if someone wants to own this event, then someone needs to invest in a real way in this museum, so that there are the resources to hire the professionals that need to be here to do this incredible work, so that the people who work here right now are compensated appropriately when they are not. If people want to own this fundraiser, then I think that there's an obligation to step up and look at how this organization is resourced and funded and contribute more. Otherwise, my allegiance is with the museum and actually not with organized labor as it relates to this event.
Awesome. Thank you very much,
Megan. My pleasure.
That was very interesting. Wow. I